Again, good evening, guys. It's still extremely hot down here, and they're talking like we're going to hit the mid to upper 90s for a couple of more days before we get any relief this weekend. So I guess that's just what it is, and the Lord knows what we need, and that's what He's given us. He's given us a lot of dry heat. Feels like we're out in Arizona. But I'm going to continue on. It probably won't be that long of a study tonight, but because it's not a word study as I have been given, but it's to go back to the basic of the fruit of the light in Ephesians, and I guess just kind of go over it again from the scripture itself. Today's October 1st, and I'm Tony McCurry, and this is it. Fruit of the Light, number 14 is my study, and it's character traits of a body member of Christ, which is what I say is the fruit of the light. It's in Ephesians 4 and 5. It is a combination of the attributes that make up and distinguish a body member. The fruit of the light in Ephesians 5:9 is what Paul is telling the Ephesians and faithful in Christ. And we see that in the very first chapter and first verse. It's my goal to present this study in a practical position, even though it's a doctrinal as to our state. The walk that the body member is asked to display in his character to all, everybody, around him on a daily or hourly fashion. Mostly for our own spiritual growth and understanding as to my walk. I've gone over several attributes so far, love, goodness, righteousness, truth, light, and patience, and there's probably a couple more in there that I just didn't think of right off the top. And the spiritual walk starts, the body member's spiritual walk starts in Ephesians 4:17 and through 32, giving examples as to their negative and positive walk. We can see that in 17 and 18 in Ephesians 4. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Now this is the Ephesians naturally, but we can also say is the faithful in Christ. And we definitely fit the bill as to the faithful in Christ. In the vanity of their mind, and we can also fall into vanity. We see it all the time. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Being blind to the Word of God and don't even care to discuss living righteously, but through patience and steadfastness in the faith of Christ, we as the called out are to be examples and a display of that light. There's so many people that are negative towards Scripture because they see so many of the other traditional churchgoers that go to church on Sunday and then act like a heathen the rest of the time, but yet they just be a saint on Sunday. The other times they're back to the heathenistic issues and lifestyle and cursing and whatever it is that they do. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 10, Paul says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children," and children are innocent. We all know that. "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, in fact, and the oldest manuscripts read, of this ye are sure knowing, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That is a very bold statement. We were at a grandchild baptism this past Sunday, and the pastor was pacing back and forth, saying that everybody's forgiven by grace, and he compared a preacher to a pervert of all the words that he just chose to come out of his mouth to say that a pervert is saved just as well as a preacher is saved. And at first, you know, I was kind of taken aback. And, you know, you automatically say, well, it depends on the state that he's in when he dies, whether he's saved or not. Because you can't just outright say that a pervert is saved just because they proclaim Christ. Because Christ is going to be the final judge on that, whatever it is, because a pervert falls into the whoremonger and or unclean person category in Scripture here, and it plainly states, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And the kingdom of Christ and of God is where they are in the presence of. So that means there's going to be no resurrection for that person because he's not going to be at the presence of Christ and or God. That is, if he dies in his state that he's in. And the sixth, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Well, we can see the vain words in some of Paul's other teachings with the Pharisees and the proselytes that come in there and go into changing the thought process of the believers. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. When before coming to know Christ and the spiritual guidance that he offers, the once Gentiles but now one body, we can apply this to our walk and understanding to see the darkness or worldly walk or we once had and can actually see it in modern Christianity and the political arena that still fall after the lust of the flesh, which leaves them with no inheritance in the kingdom of God, even Christ. And as in verse 5 reads, of this you are well knowing that no whoremonger, and we're going to go into that a little more detail, nor unclean person, nor 3, covetous man who is an idolater, 4, hath any inheritance. A whoremonger is pornos. We all, just the word itself, porno, we know what that's associated with. It's associated with every sexual fantasy picture video that's out there. It's covered under porno. Also used as fornicators in Scripture. It's akin to the base disposed of as merchandise as far as people goes into slavery. Male prostitute as in venal. Capable of being bought or obtained for money or other valuable consideration. That's venal. And by analogy a debutante, libertine, a fornicator, or whoremonger. The critical lexicon states sodomite, one who commits sodomy, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's plain, or a catamite, a boy kept for unnatural purposes. We understand this in the Muslim religion, that it's perfectly fine to have a catamite. In 1 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, Paul says, I write unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now this is the same word. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. These two verses are almost identical to the one in Ephesians 5:5. To company with no fornicators would be almost to company with none in the unbelieving world. You need not utterly altogether forego intercourse with fornicators and etc., or the unbelieving world as fornicators, sin against themselves, so extortioners against their neighbors, and idolaters against God. So Paul is bringing out the three of the ugliest forms of sin that man can do. And the unclean person is 169, that's akarthos, and presumed derivative of 2508, meaning cleansed, impure, ceremonially, morally, lewd, or specially foul or unclean. In the critical lexicon, it's unpurified in a Levitical sense, unatoned. Then, as transferred in the moral sphere, impure, embracing impurity of all kinds. And a covetous man who is an idolater is eager for gain. It's plenoketres. That's Greek form 41:23. Hence a defrauder, avaricious, covetous. In the critical lexicon, one who will have more, a covetous person, a defrauder for gain, far worse than money loving. Because we understand covetous person as far as just being greedy for money. But in this case, it's associated with the immoral acts that goes along with the catamites and such. And then you have your idol worshiper, which is also a immoral sin. And in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye, therefore, partakers with them. Paul is constantly, this is another one of those, Paul is constantly admonishing the believers to not partake or be a company with those that are in reference here. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Darkness or blindness. We can, as in Ephesians 4:18 that I mentioned before, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So it's darkness. A more defined reading of 4:18 is having been darkened in the understanding, having been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness or hardness of their heart. Then goes on to say in 19, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, which goes back into the other forms. And ye did not know, ye did not so learn the Christ, or did not understand, so learn to understand Christ. To know Christ himself is the great lesson of the Christian life. This, the Ephesians began to learn in their conversion as Christ. In reference to his office, is here specified as the object of learning Jesus in Ephesians 4:21 as the person. And Ephesians 4:21 states, if ye did hear him, and in him were taught as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And in 26 and 27 of chapter 4 it says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Paul giving the negative and positive compared to the new man should walk. When walking as children of the light, we can't help but be Christ-like in every sense. Examples to those around us. Even though I have friends that don't see the truth that I present, they almost always come to me for advice on scriptural understanding. It warms my heart when a family member comes to me with a question about scripture and I can honestly give them the truth and not tradition teaching. And I'm sure there are those of you that have the same situations. As body members, we are admonished to correct the misunderstanding of scripture through love and patience and use our offensive armor, the sword of the Spirit, as in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Underline correction in righteousness, not anger, and that's where the fruit of the light, that we walk in patience, one attribute that I just went over. And then Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Not in the light, but having received the light, you are the light. Paul, again, is telling the Ephesians their previous life, but now, having received the light, and in, it's, and then 9 expresses the fact of the light. For the fruit of the light, the Septuagint says light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And the New American Standard states, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, which is a profound statement, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, which in self is displaying the walk of the light is acceptable unto the Lord. And then 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works, which is the works of the flesh, of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's to elenko, to confute, admonish, convict, convince, tell fault, rebuke, or reprove. A lot of people today would say, well, you're judging somebody. Well, if it's scriptural acknowledgement, then call it as you will. And then 12, For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest, phanerou, to bring to light, is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, art sleeping, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, which is understanding what his true will is. Those that are sleeping are ignorant to the truth because they don't care to. But when you come out of that sleep and receive the spirit of understanding, then you can understand the light. Which is actually a paraphrase from Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. Arise and shine, for the light is coming. He's talking about Israel here. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Then we get to verse 15 of Ephesians 5. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we can definitely see the days of evil upon us in our... If you turn on the news at all, you can see it. You can see it just walking down the street a lot of times. As members of the body, the ecclesia, we are instructed to walk in a manner that is acceptable in Christ and by following his teaching through the spirit of guidance. And the instruction of Scripture is just a matter of doing it. Just do it. Heard the phrase, just do it. And don't get stuck in the worldly setting of dog-eat-dog mindset and think of others before oneself. I'm the biggest sinner of all in this mindset and am constantly praying to God for guidance. But all we have to do in finishing up is with Colossians 3:12-17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in the one body. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful in everything. I mean, there's even in the hardships, we're to be thankful. I mean, it's easy for me to sit back and tell Gary he needs to be thankful for that situation that he went through, because I'm sure he thought he was going to die. Because there's still a learning process even in that. But we're to be thankful in all things. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thank you guys, and like I said, it was a short one, but that's my spiel for tonight.